Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Got a question for you. Is there a crisis in fatherhood? A crisis of fatherhood or absences? The absence of fathers in America? We're going to talk more about that today. We're going to talk with Ryan Sanders, Director of Marketing and Communications at National Fatherhood Initiative, here in just a little bit. Hope you can stick around for the conversation. So much to talk about with that issue today, so hope you can join us. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for CUW. That CUW logo in the sponsor section there. Click on that, and that'll take you to more information about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Go check it out at kfuo.org. Joining me by phone this morning, Ryan Sanders. He's the Director of Marketing and Communications for the National Fatherhood Initiative. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for being our guest today and taking some time to talk with us on Faith and Family about fatherhood in America. Tell us about the National Fatherhood Initiative. What is the National Fatherhood Initiative?
Well, our vision, Andy, is if you go to our website, it's to improve the well-being of children, right, by increasing the proportion of children that grow up with involved, responsible, and committed fathers. That's a fancy way of saying we help dads be better dads. and we do that through, you know, educating America, through equipping fathers, through our skill-building resources, and just engaging all sectors of society on this whole idea of both father absence, as you mentioned, but also just how to be a good dad, how to be involved.
From your perspective or from the National Fatherhood Initiative perspective, what is the work of a father? What is the vocation? What is the work or duty of a father?
Yeah, I really have been dealing with that. I've been at National Fatherhood Initiative for almost 2.5 years, and that's one of that is the question of all questions, Andy. that is wrapped up in everything as far as our relationship with our wives, our kids. Being a father, that is one of those things. It's a very personal and purposeful thing. I want to talk about that. I have some things I really want to say about that. But just to give you a better idea too of what NFI really, you know, not only who we are but what we do. I want to remind everybody that we're in all 50 states. We are a skill building organization, right? We sell resources that help dads be better dads, right? So I don't know if you allow me to tell you, like, we are in all 50 states. We are on a military bases. We are in corrections facilities. I know you're going to let me talk about that at later stories, but just I want to make sure you guys know that we've distributed 6.6 million resources specifically to fathers over our two decades. So we're in this work pretty heavily.
And so what do those resources go about? What is the target of those resources that are distributed in those programs that are developed?
Yeah, if you read our blog much, we try to tell some stories on those blogs from our. We have a lot of community-based organizations. I mentioned military and corrections, but one of the things, you know, we take people through, like, if you're in a prison, you know, if you're an inmate in a prison, we have a 12-week program called Inside Out Dad that takes you through the skills that you need both to connect with your child inside prison and, you know, once you get out. And it's the same goes with our 24/7 dad curriculum. It's a 12-week program as well. And we're talking about nuts and bolts 101 parenting stuff, how to communicate with your wife or the mom of your child, how to do this whole thing to work family balance. We're talking about the skill building stuff, connecting with your child.
Throughout our education, from, you know, preschool all the way up through high school, even college, we study all kinds of things. We study, you know, reading and English and math and history, social studies, science, even some psychology in many settings. And those prepare us for a variety of things in all our various vocations. But do we really have, across the board in our curriculum, anything that helps prepare us for our vocation as parents, especially as fathers? That seems to be something that, you know, a vocation that many of us are given, but yet is there much that really prepares us for that vocation? Is there anything that really ultimately prepares you for, or completely prepares you for that vocation of fatherhood? Being a new father myself, our son being a year old, there are so many things that come up in fatherhood have been surprises, but yet many joys as well. And there are so many things that I think, oh, there's nothing that could have ever prepared me for this, no matter how much I studied. But there are so many things that I wish I would have known too before becoming a father. And I'm sure I'll continue to think that throughout my vocation as father. Go ahead.
Yeah, I couldn't say that better myself, Andy. I think that's essentially what's missing. To go back to your original question of what is this whole thing of fatherhood and what's the mission, what's the purpose? It's we don't see it as a role that God has given us, right? We don't see it as a personal and purposeful mission, right? And if you knew that, you know, if we can reframe this whole idea of fatherhood and being a man, and when we are fathers, that it is a personal and a purposeful mission, I think that gets at the idea of, well, it's worth studying, right? Like we do any kind of trade as a man, mm-hmm. right? We if you're an attorney, you study law. Fatherhood isn't just some innate thing that we know everything about 101 of how to communicate and how to connect with a child as much as it takes skills. It takes learning over time. You learn, like you said, your child at one will be very different to connect with now versus when she's 20 or he or she's 21. You said the son?
He's one. Yeah.
He's one. So when he's 21, it'll be very different. You'll have to learn and grow with him. Right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
In skills. I mean, that's something working here for a couple of years, I'm still learning that. I'm still understanding it is a skill building thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. And experience also aids us in developing skill as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So National Fatherhood Initiative, NFI, works at providing resources to and developing programs to help fathers be the best that they can be for the sake of the best for children.
Yeah, and we, you know, the whole father absence deal, it is a crisis. We're on record as saying it's a crisis. You know, you opened your program by asking, is it? I'm answering it for your listeners. It is. You know, we wrote a blog post literally calling it that, you know, the father absence crisis in America. And, you know, I'm happy to go through some of the stats that are on that.
Yeah, let's take a look at those.
But you know, you want to talk about how it's affecting children and society. There's some big things there. I don't know how much you can just stop me when you want to, but I have three that I wanted to tell your listeners to make sure they were aware. One being the corrections department, like the corrections, the whole field of corrections, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know, Andy, I know from experience before National Fatherhood Initiative, I worked at Prison Fellowship, Chuck Colson's ministry, right? I know, I would hear stories from them. I worked a couple of years there. People would come in and tell their story. I heard people on phones. I had to write speeches, right? I heard these stories of former inmates, right? These are people that have been in prison, now they're out. Numerous stories of, well, my dad was in prison, or worse, my grandfather was also in prison. That whole the corrections field, the issue of crime and incarceration is one of a huge problem with when it comes to father absence and truly connecting dad to kids. You know, we have the stat on the blog post: 1 in 5 prison inmates had a father in prison, and I don't think unless you've been in prison, that relates to you. Like, you don't understand that most people in prison, it's because their dad was in prison.
There's a correlation between an incarcerated father and an incarcerated child, incarcerated son or child of a father who's incarcerated. There's a correlation is what I hear you saying.
Yes. It's one of those things when dad isn't there, it breeds the more likelihood that if you're a dad, you won't be there either. It's one of those kind of it's just a problem. It breeds more. It's an we call it a intergenerational cycle, right?
Well, Let's look at that infographic that you mentioned, some of those statistics from the father absence crisis in America, and how the absence of fathers impacts children, families, and society as a whole. In terms of poverty, your infographic says 4% greater risk of poverty when a father is absent.
Yeah, all of these. Yeah, I don't know if your listeners are familiar, but I go over 10 different aspects, like, or sectors of society, right? And you know, poverty is one. You know, that's from the U.S. Census Bureau. That's, you know, I don't know how to argue with, you know, that's the stat. It's one of those things. When dad isn't in the home, that there's the more likelihood of that. There's more likelihood of a child growing up in poverty. Even, you know, a couple of more we may not think about is health. Even within the whole, you know, field of health, you know, when a child doesn't have dad in the home, a teen, you know, you look at, there's the sixth one I pull out. A teen is more likely to engage in sexual activity earlier on in life and makes her 7 times more likely to be pregnant as a teen. I mean, that's just health. Even to bring it more home, Andy, this whole idea of when we're talking about health, even beyond teen pregnancy, the obesity, you know, this is something like, this is where it gets personal, right? It gets personal to me, right? As an obese dad, you're more likely to raise an obese child. Now, that's a whole other hour program for the show. And I'm speaking from experience. I know I've been obese. I'm now I'm overweight, right? I've been 60 pounds overweight. Now I'm 10 pounds overweight. If you talk to me last year, Andy, I was 60 pounds overweight, right? I've lost 50 pounds. I'm still overweight, but I was an obese dad, and I was doing all the wrong things. And I'm teaching that to my kids, even though I may not even be saying it out loud. There's an issue here with even, and I'm a present dad, right? But my actions matter. Fatherhood and health, there's a correlation, as you would say.
More likely to have behavioral problems, more likely to commit a crime.
Yeah, we see it in schools. I see it from, you know, social media. Like, I handle the social media feeds and everything for NFI. We see, as far as behavioral problems, we see kids reaching out. Like, boys, I'm sure girls as well, but I'm just on my mind right now is a kid, there's a boy. You know, I have a story of a boy who didn't have a father at home. He's acting out in school. He's getting worse grades. There's not that authority. There's a problem there. There's a miscommunication with the authority. He's not listening in school. And, you know, you can look at it and see the correlation of between having a father in the home and not having a father in the home. And when it comes to the whole, Andy, the whole field of education, like, we're talking about high school, right? You're 2 times more likely to drop out of high school if you had if you don't have a father in the home. That is a big difference. But even when you break it down, like, we try to break it down and use, you know, like, the Department of Education stats and Census Bureau stats. You know, the couple of stats just in the field of education and father absence. If you think about it, I know your son's 1, but, you know, when he's in school, right, he'll probably have 20 kids in his classroom, right? That's in a really good school. Out of those 20 kids, right, 7 of them will not have a father in the home. That is, to me, like, I don't know how much more I can highlight that and put it in bold on the blog post, right?
Sure.
But that is one of those things that, to me, that resonates with me. Like, the idea, like, I have 2 daughters, young daughters. They're both in school now. They each have even more than 20. I mean, maybe 25 students in each of their classes. When I'm attending events and, you know, I'm going to cheerleading, like the football game for my daughters, and I'm seeing there's less dads in the stands than there are moms. Why is that? You know, not all of them are working. You can't tell me all of them are just so busy they can't go from week in to week out. There's an issue here. There's a father absence issue. And when you start really breaking this down, not only do kids more likely to drop out, but we're seeing that there's a kids do better in school. It's not a matter of just whether you're actually attending school or not attending school. It's how are you doing in school. There's the father involvement in schools is associated with higher likelihood of children getting mostly A's. So this is a big continuum, right? It's a big problem. It's a crisis.
It is a crisis. Now, granted, some fathers are absent for reasons beyond their control. Some, as you said, maybe work draws some of them away. Some are due to poor choices. Some are conscious or unconscious choices to be absent. In some cases where a father is deceased, obviously that's beyond anyone's control. But there are some situations where a father could make a change, who he might physically be present, but emotionally and emotionally, spiritually, mentally, he's not present. He's absent. How do we deal with this absence, this crisis of father absence in America?
Yeah, I think there's two different levels. There's the, and it's a constant discussion of where you start, right? We see the problem. Okay, you agree with me there's a problem. How do we solve it, right? There's the dad that's just not involved at all. Literally, he's not in the home, and that's what these stats are about. These are not these 10 things on this blog post about the crisis of father absence. Those are dads that they're not even in the picture, okay? That's a very different issue than you or me, maybe. We're in the home, we're contributing, but we're emotionally uninvolved, that kind of idea, right? So, you know, one of the big things that we're seeing, like, as we talk more to the people who are buying our resources, and I have a story. If you're welcome, if you want me to share it, it's we're seeing, like, as we talk and we get these stories from the people who are using our resources in these communities, you know, we're getting a sense of feedback and a sense of real life. Hey, our stuff does work. Like, when you take dads and we get at this skill building thing, we stop dads and say, hey, look, this is what we need to do. And, you know, we mentioned it in the beginning of the program, but, you know, it's worth talking about this idea of building our skills, that we don't necessarily know how to be great dads just without studying anything, or what, you know, if we haven't, depending on our experience, whether, you know, our father was great or bad or whatever, you know, we don't necessarily have, we're not just born with the tools necessarily, right? It takes time, it takes reading, it takes studying, it takes skill building resources. So all that to say, you know, we have stories in our communities, and we have stories in the corrections and in the military fields of these ideas. And if you're open, I can share one of the stories from our, sure, one of our community-based programs, if you'd like.
Sure, that would be great.
Yeah, there's one in particular. It's on my mind because I wrote about it a couple of months ago in San Diego, right? I wish I had one in St. Louis. Maybe we'll get one after this call. but in San Diego, like San Diego County, all right, a couple of months ago, I spoke with a woman named Daphne. I knew her because she bought our curriculum. She's been doing our 24/7 dad program, right? The 12-week program in the community. She is a prototype. If we could replicate her in every county, you know, we would literally change the world, and I mean that. She's one of these people who saw the problem, right? She understands that the problem and the solution is in fatherhood, okay? And she, you know, talking to her by phone and interviewing her, and I had her two other people, she was able to bring in Aaron and Andre, these two gentlemen, and she sat on the phone with me and talked to me for a couple hours and explained what they do and what they're seeing. When they start week one and they go to week 12, and then they actually do a graduation ceremony. Like, you can look on to see the video. They did send me a video, and I posted it on the blog. But their stories, like, they've used our program now for 3 years, right? They've had 120 dads go through that program. Year one, they had like 15, 20 dads, and it's just grown. So in 3 years, cumulatively, they've had 120 dads go through this 12-week program, right? And it's amazing. Like, when you break it down and you think about these dads are learning, you know, what it means to be a father, how to interact with my kid, what can I, you know, give me tools I can connect with my child at whatever stage. You know, questions I can ask them, things I can do, ideas. Like, we're in a group of guys for 12 weeks, and we're talking about things: what's working, what not, what doesn't work. You know, how can we work with mom? A lot of times there's issues when they're talking about when dad's asking, like you said, some of these dads, they may have made a mistake with wife, but they still want connection with the child. How do we reestablish that connection? Can you imagine, like, if you're in a room with 20 dads, some of them have done this, you know, before, they know, they're learned, you know, leaders, and we're talking through this as guys, how to be better men, how to be better husbands if we still have that opportunity, how to be better dads. Imagine the sense of power, like the life skills from a person that has never had this before. Like, you're sitting here, you know, I had a dad, but if I'm sitting in a group and I've never had a dad before, and for the first time, there's a guy leading me he's going to be very much a father figure to me for that 12 weeks and then beyond. And so we're hearing, long story short here, Andy, we're hearing, like, these, Delphine would tell you in San Diego, you know, I remember, like, Aaron, actually, he quoted him, you know, because I asked him, why fatherhood? Why do you care so much? Why do you want to you spent 3 years of your life working with these dads. Why? Mm-hmm. And he'll tell you, quote, it's in the blog post, right? Because I saw too many men meet their dads on a prison yard. I mean, that's real, right? And then, you know, you talk about success and difference in our communities. The idea of, they shared with me a story, and again, this is just San Diego County, right? But they shared with me, like, there's a retired police officer. I didn't get his name, but there's a retired police officer who, like, helped this young boy who was a criminal, right? This was a few years ago. You fast forward to now, and they explain, like, the sheriff of the county, like, helped this same kid who was a criminal get his driver's license. And it's this kind of thing. They'll tell you, you know, when they're able to see at the end of 12 weeks, the father tell them, you know, it's not about me, it's about my child. They'll tell you, you know, that we've succeeded. That's a dad who gets it. I can't tell a better story than that. You know, it's that dark into light kind of idea of, you know, I was absent and now I'm present.
You bring up an interesting point that what about that relationship between father and child when father is incarcerated? What can you do about that? You know, when a father is incarcerated, how much interaction can he have with a child? How can he parent his child if he's incarcerated? How much of a relationship can he have with that child? How can he be that father figure and do those fatherly things when he's locked up? How can he do that? Or what hope is there for that child whose father is incarcerated? What, it's not the child's fault that the father is incarcerated. What can be done to really provide the best for that child? I want to continue that conversation. I know that you have more stories to share as well, but we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversations. We're talking with Ryan Sanders, Director of Marketing and Communications for National Fatherhood Initiative. Stick around for more Faith and Family right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Abortion's impact on the mothers and fathers of the unborn child often lasts a lifetime. That was dramatically revealed recently when one of the world's most famous leaders admitted he and his wife had an abortion. Mikhail Gorbachev is known for his relationship with Ronald Reagan and his failure to keep the Soviet Union together. What the world didn't know until now was that he and his wife, Reza, aborted their first child named Sergei after the Soviet leader's father. Mr. Gorbachev spoke about the continuing grief the abortion still has on his life. The abortion happened 51 years ago. If you feel the pain of a past abortion, contact me at lifeissues.org. We'll find you a free counselor to bring you hope and healing. You'll be free again.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO. Now discover how easy it is to listen to KFUO where you are. Discover our online stream and on-demand programs that allow you to listen where, when, and how you want. Discover how easy it is to listen on your radio, smartphone, Wi-Fi radio, and other listening devices. You've discovered the Christ-centered message that KFUO proclaims daily in both word and song. We are KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Following the National March for Life, join LCMS Life Ministry beginning January 22nd for 3 days at the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, Theological Motivation, Practical Know-How, and Valuable Time with Lutheran pro-lifers from across the country. Speakers will encourage you in advocating for life through your vocation as a Christian citizen to stand for those who will never take their first steps. LCMS.org/life or 314-996-1711.
338. Protect yourself and those around you by getting your flu vaccine. It is your best defense against the flu. Annual vaccination against flu is recommended for all people 6 months of age and older, unless they have a condition or medical reason not to get the vaccine. Stay in the game, get vaccinated, and help us tackle the flu.
To find a flu vaccine clinic near you, go to mo.gov and click on the flu vaccine locator. This message is brought to you by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Most people in this world do not seem to enjoy being told what to do, and yet we appreciate encouragement. For example, we resent being ordered to rejoice, but we can be encouraged, and one of the best ways to do that is with music. The kind of music you'll hear on the next Sing for Joy.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Have you ever thought about becoming a Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor? There are plenty of reasons to do so. Perhaps a birthday, an anniversary, celebration of a baptism, confirmation, graduation, any event. It's easy. Just call Mary or Joni at 1-800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524. And become a Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor today.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking about fatherhood, the vocation of father as fathers, and particularly the crisis of the absence of fathers in America. We're talking with our guest, Ryan Sanders, Director of Marketing and Communications for National Fatherhood Initiative. And before we went to break, Ryan, we were talking about the fathers who are incarcerated and the scenario that happens, you know, in that scenario where a father is incarcerated, it's not the child's fault that dad is incarcerated, is in prison. But is there any hope? What can a dad in prison do? What is best for a child in that situation? What does National Fatherhood have to say or to recommend or offer in those situations?
We have, you know, there is hope, in short, that because we've seen it. I personally have flown to Ohio to speak with a man named Troy, right? And I know Troy. I spoke to him 2 years ago, and I continue to talk to him all the time about his journey. He would tell you very quickly there is hope. We've written about him. I've written about him personally. I've put him on video. He is the prototype of what you're talking about, a dad who was incarcerated, mm-hmm. and he didn't have a relationship. He couldn't have a relationship with his son at all, and that to me has got to be one of the hardest things. I've never been in prison, but that has to be one of the hardest things because, yes, your window isn't. You can't just get in your car and drive over to the house or go to a game and start a relationship with your son or daughter. That has to be one of the most difficult, hopeless feeling things. But you have to make the most of what you've got, right? You have to break it down And, you know, you're going to have to establish a relationship in some way, whether it's, you know, you get your phone call, you get your, you're able to write letters. And I believe there's hope there in the sense that you still have time on this earth. That's really what it boils down to, right? You may not have opportunities to see your child very much if you, you know, you're sitting there behind the cell and you can't go somewhere, but you still have opportunities, right? You still, whether it may seem like a small thing, but writing a letter or just your spirit is going to come out of that, your spirit of humility, your spirit of just care and wanting to connect, right? And I know this not because I've lived it, but because I've heard this story, right? Troy in Ohio will tell you, he established the relationship with his son while he was in prison. This has been a decade ago that he got out of prison, right?
What opened his eyes to help him realize that he needed that relationship? He needed to have that relationship with his son.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for stepping me, bringing me back. What was our program, actually, there was a volunteer had our material, our Inside Out Dad curriculum is what it's called. Again, it's a 12-week, I mean, you have a hard copy, like members book, right? There was a volunteer who, he'll tell you, I interviewed him as well, because he's a very much a father figure to Troy. And so when I was interviewing him, we sat down and we talked and we had breakfast together even, and he's very like, even though he volunteered, like we're talking about a man who's got a decade now of actually being a father, being a mentor to Troy, right? And so this man he was just a volunteer in the prison system. He would do small groups and he would lead them and he would use our Inside Out Dad material. And so that was the connection. That's how Troy even learned of, oh, hey, I should actually connect with my child. Like, before that, he'll tell you, he didn't have a relationship with Troy himself, didn't have a relationship with his dad, and he didn't care about that. Like, that wasn't his mindset. He was going to go out and try to, if he ever did get out of prison, or when he did get out of prison, he was going to go do whatever he was going to do to make a living. You know, it was his number one goal wasn't to connect with his child. He'll tell you that. And, I mean, that sounds like wild and crazy, but that's what he'll tell you. Like, my thing was to try to make it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get the next thing. And so through using the program, through that volunteer, he reframed his whole priorities. You know, his priorities weren't to do the same kind of criminal activity he was doing to get paid, and it was to get a real job that would actually allow him time to connect with his child. And so he did that. Like, his story is that, you know, he got out of prison 10 years ago, and to this day, you know, he's not perfect. He just like you and me. He has his own struggles, but here's the real point. He does have a connection with his son. He'll tell you now. He has that connection. He goes to the football games. You know, it's that kind of night and day difference. What's really important
through the interaction with this volunteer in prison, his perspective has changed. His worldview was changed, so that his goals shifted from trying to make it. Simply just trying to make it for himself, to trying to make it so that he can care for someone besides himself, particularly his children, his child.
And that isn't that the point for all of us, whether we're incarcerated or we're deployed as military dads? You know, I live in D.C. area, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of military. There's a lot of deployed dads. You know, same story there. You know, it's that idea of being absent but trying to connect. And, you know, I'm sorry, Dad, you know, I'm speaking for myself, I guess, but we tend to not be very emotionally attached to things, not very relational. Those skill-building things, those ideas of talking about communicating with our spouses or in children, those things don't come very easily sometimes. I'm sure there, you know, that's a general statement, and that there's exceptions to all these of what I just said. But generally speaking, it takes skill building. It takes dads talking with other dads, you know, men talking with other men, and being willing to open up and learn.
It does. It takes building those communication skills in order to help us interact with our spouses, with the mother of our children. It helps us, you know, by learning how to communicate clearly and effectively. We can maintain healthy relationships. That doesn't mean we're going to be free of problems. That doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect by any means. We know that, but that can certainly help us in our vocations as husbands, as fathers, in any of our daily vocations. You brought up a good point. Our military dads, especially when they're deployed, you know, that's a tough situation to be in. Not only are they away from their children, but also from spouse as well, most likely. And so is there something that the National Fatherhood Initiative offers for those dads as well in military?
Yeah, we have, you know, just like we have for community and we have for corrections programming, we have leaders that we train that have went through our deployed dads handbooks, and we have a representative, a program consultant that actually he's a former Army guy, and that's his day job is to connect with leaders who will then train military dads, right? Or not just dads, but military leaders. Hear me correctly there. Not just dads. Like this is a, you know, females can lead these groups as well. We're talking about being on an installation and connecting. You know, military faces its own special issues with deployment. But when you're not deployed, not everybody's deployed. You know, you live on an installation. You live on a base. You have your own work and family balance issues, and so we have, you know, we have trainings and we have programs set up for those as well. It's an interesting thing between military. You know, we've talked about the community, we've talked about corrections and military. You know, it's one of those things. We're trying our best to get at all these different sectors of society, right? And it's a question of where do you start? How with the fixing the problem, and that's where we are so far, you know?
Sure. It's a tough situation to be in when dads can't be present all the time. But even when we are present, we still face challenges. We're trying to balance work and everything else in life as well. So how do we do that? It's a tough balance.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a whole nother conversation just between, you know, we're sitting here as dads and we're busy. You know, we have our jobs. We have our families to look after. That's a whole other conversation of being active and being present. That kind of idea of being emotionally present. I'm not sure how much you want to get into it, but just even like talking about society and corporate culture and depictions of dads. That whole idea. There's a, you know, entertainment media does to me at least. Movies speak to me. So so it's one of those things that. You know, we could talk about that if you'd like. The idea of the uninvolved dad or the guy that's present but not emotionally there, that kind of stuff. That's a whole other discussion that's really important, I think.
Sure, media, especially entertainment media, as you brought up, depicts husbands, dads, men in general quite often not in a favorable light, sometimes in a favorable light. And there is an example of that. And I think that was on the blog not too long ago as well. And we'll get to that as well. When it comes to breakfast cereals, we'll talk about that
right,
in a little bit.
Right.
But in general, quite often, how do you see entertainment media as depicting men, husbands, fathers? How are they usually depicted in entertainment media?
Oh, it's such a both and to me. It's hard to fall down on one area because I kind of see it. I see both the good and the bad, right? With corporate, like just talking about TV stuff, you know, with the advertising media, you know, I wrote down in preparation to talk with you. I knew that we would come up to this. It's one of those things like, I have a couple of bad examples that jumped out. I have a couple of great examples. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm able to work with with good and bad. But, you know, still in advertising, I think overall, I do want to point out a couple of really good ones, that, but eventually here. But I feel like in advertising, maybe more so, Andy, I don't know what you think, but in corporate world, in advertising, like TV ads and things, I almost feel like it's a pretty bad portrayal still. We've come a long way, but it's still pretty bad. That whole, the doofus dad, you know, stereotype is still out there from, I don't know if you want to name brands, but there's still that idea of the doofus dad is still very prevalent in our culture, that, you know, myself and the dads that I'm around and I hear talk, we hate that still.
Sure, I don't like that depiction of men, and were it reversed, and I think there would be a great uproar, you know, if women were depicted in that way quite often. Now, granted, there are other ways that women are depicted in ads that is unsavory, but if women were depicted, if women and mothers were depicted as the doofus and the buffoon in the family and the household, that would be inappropriate as well. But quite often, I'm guessing when it comes to advertising, specifically advertising like TV commercials, things like that, when it comes to that, I would imagine most marketers are developing their plans based around targeting women, because women make generally more of the purchases for our household than men do when it comes to the types of things that are advertised on TV. Granted, men make some purchases, but I would imagine most TV commercials are targeted toward women and mothers. And so I guess in some sense, it kind of makes sense why they would depict men in that way. But at the same time, it's still bad. And it creates this bad picture.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's a low-hanging fruit to be, for like a lot of ads have to be funny really quickly, or they try to get their point across, and so it's lazy. I'll just be honest, it's a lazy form of writing to be, how do we make something funny? You can imagine a group of people, like advertising executives and creatives in a room, and it's, how can we be funny? Well, it's so easy to do the doofus dad bit, and it's just kind of like sign off, okay, get done. It's still one of those things that, to me, it's just lazy. That's all I think when I see it. Like, it's too easy, and that's all I know how to say. I do have, like, there's beacons of light, though, if you want to talk about that.
Yeah.
We gave a fatherhood award, actually. This is how serious we take this kind of stuff, right? When we see the good things, the whole positive reinforcement, right, Andy? When you see the good things, we're trying to promote that, right?
Sure.
And so General Mills Canada, and I'm hoping they bring this peanut butter Cheerios to North America, right? But the General Mills Canada did this. I don't know if you saw it on our blog, but I hope you have. We've tried to talk about it a lot. They did what we think we wish more people would do, this whole official cereal of dadhood, right? And it did it. Like, here's our big thing. It didn't make a doofus mom, or it was comedy, but it was brilliant in the sense of it was just real. It was witty. The dad was a real dad, and he was funny without being self-deprecating or ignorant or a doofus, and it didn't show like that mom didn't exist, like she's in the pictures, and like he hands her a cup of coffee and like mentions how she's hot and stuff. Like that's real, that's funny, that's a guy being a guy, right? But who also happens to be a dad.
Sure, there's right? there's
a very
respect.
Real depiction. So we internally we loved it, and we literally literally have fatherhood awards, right? They're beautiful, they're shiny. We don't give these out very much. We'd love to give them out more if we could. We literally presented General Mills and their whole ad agency and a fatherhood award, right? And to hopefully like have other brands realize like this stuff is worthwhile. Like it's worthwhile to create campaigns for dads, because dads are making decisions. You know, dads are, you know, even if they're, there's a lot more stay at home dads these days as well. But even when they're just the typical, like stereotypical dad who's working late or whatever, these dads still make purchasing decisions. Whether it's cars or camping equipment. Dads still have the decision power as well. They still have a wallet, right?
And now there's a mass number of dads buying peanut butter Cheerios in Canada.
I know if I lived in Canada, I would be buying the peanut Cheerios for more than one reason. I'm a big peanut butter fan too. But and the whole campaign, you know, if I could just say another thing about it, the whole campaign was not just we're going to just pay homage to dad. It, like, there's a whole Tumblr page of that's literally like, you know, we think peanut butter cereal is awesome, and we think dads are awesome, and so, you know, why not, the two go hand in hand. Like, it's a funny, uplifting sort of idea. To me, it's brilliant.
Sure,
We don't see it enough.
It was sharp. It depicted the vocation of father respectfully. There was some humor in it, certainly, but it wasn't, as you said, it wasn't self-deprecating, and it wasn't deprecating to anybody else. It shows respect to each vocation, and you do see all the vocations of within the family in that particular TV ad. You see the children, you see the mom and wife in that ad, and there isn't disrespect for anybody's vocation in the family. In that ad, a little bit of humor with the teenage son or the youth son about his hat. That's a boy. That's a dad. On how you wear your hat. But I don't think it was. I don't think it was deprecating in any way or you know, ill intended. I think that the ad did a fine job. Will it increase sales for them? I don't know. But did it improve their image among dads? Probably so. Or did it at least maintain a good image among dads? Probably so.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing there is that difference of, you know, I'm a comedy fan as much as the next person, but There's a difference between silly, because I think that dad in that commercial, right, is silly. I can't imagine, like, filming those, like, him walking around the house and doing all these silly things. He was just so out there and silly, right? He was a silly dad. But he wasn't ignorant, or, like, there's that way of that I see more often of the whole, like, I don't know how else to say it. I know that sounds, it's like an old term, but doofus dad, like, oh, I don't know anything about anything. And it's not about, like, I work all day and so I don't know. It's that I just don't know regardless. I mean,
sure.
I'm just clueless.
Well, you think of the epitome of that type of character, you think back to The Simpsons. I mean, that's a series that's been running for some time now. And how is the dad depicted in that series, Homer Simpson? And I'm not saying I haven't watched it or you know, that I don't watch it.
Right.
But how is the father figure depicted in that? He's depicted as the buffoon that he always messes up. He always makes mistakes and nobody really listens to him or respects him. That doesn't mean he isn't loved, but nobody really listens to him or respects him.
Wow, that's it, Andy. That sense of authority, and you know, you can be as silly as you want to be, but if you're it's a lot less likely for you to be viewed as responsible if you don't know anything about how the house is run. You have no say in the house at all. Like, you don't know when this is happening, this event's taking place, or that, you know, how to do this, how to change the diaper, how to do the, you know, what? Like, that is a whole different story than just being a silly dad who's funny, right?
Sure. Yeah, and going back to the peanut butter Cheerios ad, that campaign was called hashtag How to Dad, and so you see it all over Twitter with that hashtag How to Dad.
Yeah. Real quick, there's one other one, and we don't have to talk as much about it, but I just know, just on a personal level, for your listeners, for you, and we don't have a sponsor. They haven't sponsored this, right? But we've worked with them so closely that we know their heart behind fatherhood, right? Dove Men Care is one of these companies that I know from the VP level on down. These guys, they get the idea that manhood, guys don't tend to, and generally speaking, they don't tend to see themselves. They're either a man or they don't see themselves as a dad. Right? They may be single or married, but they don't necessarily view themselves as a dad, like that fatherhood idea. And Dove Men Care gets this whole idea, like the philosophy behind, look, we're promoting fatherhood. Like, that is a segment of our society. And fatherhood changes you. They will tell you it changes you as a man and a leader and you should be changed for the better. And as I just know, like, even through their some of their storylines and just executive level, they get it. They get fatherhood because they understand that philosophy behind it, that there is that market that, like,
sure,
guys are different once they become a dad.
And they've developed the, I believe they've developed the Dad 2.0 Summit, the annual conference that helps people people in all kinds of industries understand, but especially in social media and the blogs and things like that, help them understand that particular market. How do you communicate to dads and how do you reach that audience?
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. They get it. That's a couple that get it. So yeah, go buy their stuff. We don't get a kickback from it.
Well, tell us if we want to. What are some of the resources available on the National Fatherhood Initiative website, fatherhood.org? What can we find on that website? What can the everyday guy find on there? What can those who are program leaders or who lead service organizations, community organizations, and other types of places? What can they find on there as well?
Oh, that's a great question. We have a ton of free resources on fatherhood.org. And so there's stuff for individual dads who just want to be more involved with their kid but don't know how. We have the blog that I'm constantly updating and trying to give tips and tools for the everyday dad. And then we have where our research is the nice median for everything, right? We're trying to educate people that, hey, there is this issue of father absence, and here's what we can do about it. So we have our research, our free resources. Look at our ebooks, our Double Duty Dad. Look at that pledge. Think about the pledge of, if you're a great dad already and you're involved in the home, consider outside of your family. You know, has the neighbor's child got an involved dad? You know, that's an interesting thing that's worth looking at. Look beyond your circle. Outside of that, and read more about being what we call a double duty dad. But yeah, there's tons of resources. When you go on our website, you'll see, like, there's community based, there's corrections, there's military, there's state local agency work. For the leaders, you know, pick that avenue and go down it. And just, you know, the last thing I would say is, you know, remember, we're a nonprofit. There's always the fatherhood.org/donate.
Sure. Yeah, you can check that out as well. And we'll provide a link. Today's program is being recorded. It'll be posted in our on-demand section on the website. So we'll provide a link to fatherhood.org as well, and so that folks can check it out and see the resources there and what the National Fatherhood Initiative has to offer. The blog is a great way to follow and see what's going on at the National Fatherhood Initiative, and you always are commenting on things that are going on in society and in social media. And one way, I think this was the way that I found out about you too, is on Twitter. How can we find you on Twitter?
We are at The Father Factor on Twitter. We tweet all the time, and we're talking all the time there. So yeah, follow us there.
Very good. We've been talking with Ryan Sanders, Director of Marketing and Communications for the National Fatherhood Initiative. Ryan, it has been a pleasure talking with you today. Thanks so much for taking some time to share with us about National Fatherhood Initiative and some of these important topics when it comes to fatherhood in America.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Thy Strong Word. Going to study God's Word right here on Worldwide KFUO. We do that much throughout the day, and hope you can join us for that as we continue to study God's Word. And don't forget, later on in the day, we've got evening prayer. You know, we've got morning prayer in the morning. Now we've added evening prayer. You can join us for that right after Reformation Rush Hour at the end of the day. So stick around for more great programming right here on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.